This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Hi, friends, and welcome to the Plus Mommy Podcast. I'm your host, Jen McClellan, and here we explore plus-size pregnancy, motherhood, and body love. From bumps to bellies, we talk about it all. Now, let's get started. Hi, friends. It's just you and me today, and we are talking about 7 things no one prepares you for when you are plus size and pregnant. I'm taking on these 7 topics because these are questions that seem to come up every now and again, but I can tell there's a lot of emotion behind them. Meanwhile, there's so many popular questions that get talked about time and time again, like, where can I find cute maternity clothes? And when will my bump start to show? And when will I feel movement? But then there's a set of questions that we don't talk about often enough, and there aren't as many resources readily available, like how do I address my internalized fat phobia, and what can I do to learn how to love my B-belly? Not just like, yeah, it's normal and people have it, but how can I actually embrace it, and how can I share my pregnancy with my friends and family without being worried how they might react to it? So those are the types of questions that we're going to be diving into during this episode. And there are some parts of this conversation around fat phobia that might be triggering for some. So it might be helpful to head to the show notes over at plusmommy.com and look at all the questions that we're going to be addressing in advance and make sure that this is the right episode for you. And before we get started, a friendly reminder that while I am a certified childbirth educator and I've been advocating for plus-size people during pregnancy for over a decade, I am not a medical professional. So please address any medical questions or concerns to your care providers. None of the information within this episode, my podcast, my plus-size birth website, my social media outlets should ever be interpreted as medical advice. All right, now that we've got that out of the way, let's dive right in. These questions have been submitted by community members over at the Plus Size Birth Instagram. And if you haven't plugged in over there yet, it is awesome for people during pregnancy. I share weekly new gorgeous plus size maternity photos that have been submitted by community members, and also just awesome selfies of us loving our bodies and celebrating our bumps. But also I share a ton of educational information for providers and for parents. So I hope you will check that out as well. And I recently launched the Plus Size Pregnancy Week by Week Breakdown that literally walks you through everything you could expect during pregnancy on a weekly basis. So kind of like those emails you get from other popular pregnancy websites, but these are specific to having a plus size pregnancy. And I will put links to that to sign up for the weekly newsletter or just access all the information over in the show notes at plusmommy.com. All right, let's jump into our first question here. Any tips for people who have to see a new provider at each prenatal visit? I love this question because so often we talk about how to connect with a size-friendly care provider, but that is not possible for everyone from the jump, but also especially for people that have a medical insurance providers like Kaiser, where you literally don't have a specific doctor always assigned to you during maternity care. So my advice for that is to start by writing down any questions you may have in advance. I don't know about you, but when I'm going into a new situation and don't know who my provider would be, having those set of questions in advance helps me to remember. Because otherwise, I'm walking in my car, got my keys in my hands, and I'm like, oh, I meant to ask that. So that can be helpful. And just emotionally preparing that you're going to see a new provider and, you know, be hopeful that it can be a really positive experience. One thing that I've been doing more so now, and I'm definitely not pregnant, but I have to see different providers for different things, is I start off by being very honest with my provider about how I'm feeling in the moment. So sometimes I'll say, "Hi, Dr. Smith. I'm feeling really anxious right now because I've been fat shamed a lot by providers in the past, and I'm just hopeful that you won't treat me that way." And I found that like everyone that I've encountered in that situation is just like, oh my gosh, that's terrible. So it's like I'm humanizing it. Like I'm not just this data on your computer that you're looking at or on your fancy iPad. Like, I'm a human being. And especially for those listening who are pregnant and worried about this, like, you are a human growing another human, and that's a big responsibility and a lot of stress on your shoulders. And you shouldn't also be concerned that your care provider is going to shame you because of your size. So that's something that I found helpful. So doing that, preparing emotionally in advance, having questions written down in advance, and then you can be honest with how you're feeling in that moment with your care provider, and advocating for yourself and speaking up when things, you have questions about things. We've shared on the podcast so many times now the BRAIN acronym. And so maybe have that in your back pocket on your phone. I have an image that I'll put in the show notes that you can literally just save to your phone. So if this new care provider you've never met before is making a recommendation that you're unsure of, and you're not even like, you know, you're fumbling your fingers and wondering what to ask, then you can use the BRAIN acronym. So these are a set of questions that you can ask. B stands for benefits. Well, you know, thank you for that recommendation. Can you tell me the benefits? R is for risks. And how about the risks? A, are there any alternatives? I, always listen to your intuition. And then N, what happens next or if we do nothing? So that set of questions in your back pocket can help you to feel prepared to dive deeper into recommendations or things that your care provider might be saying that you're feeling a bit unsure about. And then just, you know, that basic self-advocacy of making sure that you have, if you need to be undressed, that you have a gown that fully covers your body so you feel dignified in these situations that can feel a bit uncomfortable. And if things are said or done that don't feel right, you can speak up and advocate for yourself. I know that's not always easy, but if something happens that makes you feel uncomfortable, you can also call and do a complaint. I know especially Kaiser has a huge member services. So just know that there are things that you can do ahead of time to prepare yourself emotionally, how you can advocate during those visits, and then afterwards, hopefully you won't need to complain. Hopefully nothing negative will happen. But if it does, either filing a formal complaint or, you know, even venting with your loved ones, or send me a message over on Instagram if you need to vent and you have no one else to do that to and need someone safe to share. So decompressing afterwards too, I think, is really important. Even if it was a great visit, it can still be unnerving to go to the doctor. So just do some good self-care afterwards, and know that you're doing the very best you can for yourself and your baby, and you really deserve to be treated with evidence-based compassionate care. And I really hope that that's what you experience and that each visit doesn't cause you a lot of anxiety. Speaking of anxiety, I also have a resource for anxiety during pregnancy, and I will put that in the show notes as well. All right, let's go to question number two. This one is somewhat similar. How should I respond to my doctor that mentions increased risk due to my size during pregnancy? He keeps bringing it up. So I think in this situation, it's like we talk so often about, well, connect with a size-friendly care provider in advance. But clearly from the question we just had, that's not always possible, right? And then some people are in situations where their care provider might have been more supportive in the beginning. Now tones have changed. Now we're hearing about increased risk all the time. I want to start off by saying that talking about increased risk during pregnancy isn't inherently stigmatizing, but it's how these conversations take place. Everyone face risks during pregnancy, right? And some people have increased risk because of their age, because of their health history, because of their BMI. So it's our care provider's job to let us know, you know, what risks we might face, but more importantly, what we can do to reduce our risks. So if your care provider brings this conversation up once or twice, yeah, that can be fairly common, and hopefully they're doing it in a respectful manner. If they're continuously talking about increased risk, then I think it's perfectly appropriate to say, thank you, we've already talked about this. Now I would like to discuss X, and then have a question in your back pocket. Or, thank you so much. We've discussed this a few times now. Is there anything else we need to address before our appointment ends? You know, like, find a way to pivot there. Another thing you can do that we've talked about a lot on the show, and I will put a resource in our show notes, is saying, okay, well, thank you, but can you let me know what my actual risks are? Because so often when care providers are talking about increased risks, they're speaking about relative risks. They're telling you about, you know, comparing the risks that someone with a smaller body size has compared to what you do as someone who's plus size. For example, the one that we use often is gestational diabetes. Being told that you are 4 to 5 times more likely to incur gestational diabetes, that is a relative risk. Your actual risk is what your actual risk factor is. And often for someone with a higher BMI, it's gonna be closer to around 17%. Well, on the one hand, 4 to 5 times more likely to incur it feels a lot like 40 to 50%, and that seems alarming. Knowing that, yes, there is absolutely an increased risk, but, you know, you've got over an 80% chance of not incurring it, and that increased risks are not set in stone. There's no fixed number because there's a lot that you can do to reduce your risk even further by being proactive with your nutrition or being physically active. So, my point to rambling on about relative risk and actual risk is if your care provider keeps saying, oh, well, you're 4 to 5 times more likely, you could say, actually, doc, that's my relative risk. You can feel armed and empowered with this information. So again, I will put that article in the show notes. But I hope those two tips help of pivoting or just, you know, explaining, hey, I know this. But also knowing in your heart and looking at evidence that just because we have increased risk doesn't mean that we will automatically incur them. And even if we do, people of all sizes have, different conditions during pregnancy, and there is nothing that only plus size people incur. Number 3, can you really ask not to be weighed? I think it's an exciting time in our world with social media where we can rapidly spread information and have conversations that might make medical professionals a little uncomfortable, but that are actually within our rights. Often people don't realize that they can say no, that as mentally competent adults, there is nothing that we absolutely need to do. So, no, you don't have to ever stand on the scale unless you want to. But the reality is that you will often be pressured to do so in certain situations, right? So when I go to the dermatologist, for example, there's really no need for my weight if you're looking at moles on my back, right? And more I'm finding at care providers' offices, they're not weighing as often, unless it's like a general care provider or, you know, we're doing maternity care, but there are many specialties now that aren't having people automatically stand on the scale. For maternity care, it can be, you know, important to get at least an initial weight because there are things that go into how care providers handle prenatal care when your BMI is above a certain number. Now, we could debate that, but the reality is you're going to be pressured by many, not all, but many care providers to at least get that initial weight. So I think it's helpful just to know that you have options around being weighed and we've talked about them on the show, but I would love to go through them again because I think this is a conversation that we need to keep having. And it starts with knowing that no, we don't have to do anything that we don't want to do. And then we can do things in ways that make us feel comfortable and safe and secure. So you can ask for the number not to be said aloud, and it isn't being said aloud as often, thankfully. You can not look at the number on the scale. You can stand backwards on the scale. You can ask to be weighed in a private area if the scale is in a very public area. You can weigh at home and write down the number and give it to the medical assistant. Or you can say, no, I don't feel like being weighed today. And that is, again, your right to do so. But knowing that you will be pressured during pregnancy to be weighed, I think it's helpful to know that you have options so then you feel more in control. I hope that's a balanced conversation there. Because again, like as someone who does a lot of fat advocacy, I'm like, no, you don't have to. But as a childbirth educator, I can see, especially in the beginning of pregnancy and then nearing the end of pregnancy, why that information might be helpful for care providers, especially if you're planning to have a medicated birth. Number 4, how can I love my bee belly? Oh, when I saw this question, my little heart was just like, it's just like a beautiful and sweet question. And it's so, so important. And loving our bodies in general is tricky, right? Like it is a lifelong journey because our bodies are forever evolving and changing. But during pregnancy, it can be especially hard to go into pregnancy with this idea of what a pregnant body looks like because society has shown us that pregnancy is thin white women with perfectly round bellies. And that is so far from the reality of what pregnancy actually looks like. Pregnancy is all shapes, sizes, colors, abilities. It is glorious. It is so diverse. And one way that we are actually seeing this diversity unfold in so many beautiful ways is via social media. It is helping to change our views and societal beliefs around what we all know inherently that so many different bodies get pregnant, right? So I think it starts loving our bodies and loving a belly that isn't the shape of a D, but is the shape of a B, or a belly that doesn't look pregnant when you are pregnant. It begins with seeing people pregnant that are our size. That can be so helpful. And I'm so amazed by what has happened with social media. On TikTok, the hashtag BeeBelly has 18 million views. On Instagram, hashtag BeeBelly has over 2,000 posts. And yes, there are some content within that that is not size inclusive and focuses on weight loss, unfortunately. But the vast majority of content is people celebrating their bodies and celebrating their pregnancy bee bellies and talking about what it was like to have a bee belly and talking about different clothing that they like to wear with having a bee belly. So I would say proceed with a little bit of caution, but overall, there's such great positive visuals of other people embracing their pregnancy belly shapes. So that's one way to really start to love it, is to see it and to know that you're not alone and to know that it's actually really pretty common. Now, we can see something and then we can also be like, yeah, I love it, but maybe want more of that D-shaped. And maybe, yeah, we could talk about how is that internalized fat phobia? Or is it just that I want to look a certain way? Like, we could debate that back and forth. But I absolutely acknowledge that some people don't want to emphasize their B shape during their pregnancy and they want to smooth it out. And if that's what they want, then they should have access to information on how to do that. So a belly band can be a really great way to help smooth out a B belly. And also belly bands are just fantastic for giving you extra support, especially back support during pregnancy. So I have a full list of size-friendly belly bands. A lot of people like to wear dresses or shirts that have more tightness around the bust area and then flow out. So you think those like baby doll style tops or maxi dresses. So those are just some options for people who are like, you know, I'm learning to love my B-belly, but I don't always want to emphasize. And that can be a tiptoe into it, right? And then maybe that next step is wearing a maternity shirt that's a little fitted or wearing a maternity dress that's fitted. Oh my gosh, there are so many gorgeous like B-belly emphasized maternity dresses when you look at that hashtag that I am just like in awe of. And also I have some over on the Plus Size Birth Instagram as well that people have generously shared. So, you know, we accept that it's normal. We accept that bodies and bellies come in all different shapes and sizes. We understand if we're not quite at the point of fully embracing our B-belly and there's certain ways that we want to dress to still maybe even help emphasize our bump. And then we can really start to maybe play with fashion a bit. Those are some ways that you can learn to love it. And then also, you know, for so many people of all sizes, our bellies are a place where we hold shame and we hold societal beliefs about our bodies that are complete BS. So I think loving on and massaging and touching your belly, getting some nice coconut oil or some lotion, and just rubbing on, physically touching our bodies and loving on our bodies can deepen our love and talk to that baby at the same time. So I hope those tips are helpful. Hey, busy parents. Are you feeling stressed about getting the kids ready for back to school? Today's sponsor is Alexa on the Amazon shopping app. Alexa is available where you do all your shopping on the Amazon app to simplify search and navigation, making shopping easier and more convenient. Here's how it works. Step one, open the Amazon shopping app. Step two, tap the Alexa button near the bottom right corner. Step three, search and shop by voice and allow Alexa to do all the work. Need to shop for a new backpack? Alexa, show me popular kids' backpacks.
One moment.
Or just Alexa, help me shop for school.
Here's what I found.
Or even Alexa, help me shop for college.
Here you go.
Alexa on the Amazon shopping app can help with all your shopping needs. Have Alexa reorder paper towels. Alexa, where's my stuff? Or even Alexa, play some music and so much more. Try it out now or after the show. Just open the Amazon shopping app, click the Alexa button, and get started. Go to the show notes to learn more. And now back to the show. Number five, I'm worried my weight could harm my baby. How can I deal with those fears? Oh, I think this is such a fair question to ask, but I wish it never had to be asked, right? Like, I wish society hasn't led us to believe all these misconceptions about having a pregnancy in a larger body. I wish that there wasn't so much shame and blame, but there is, and I think it's fair that people have these thoughts and these feelings and these concerns. I think it's really important, and we're going to dig into this more on the last question about managing internalized fat phobia, but I think it's really important that we just start to be really careful about the messages we take in during pregnancy, from healthcare professionals, websites, our loved ones. You know, there's so much out there being said that isn't always evidence-based, and it's often fear-based, and that makes us really feel like we shouldn't have the ability to become parents because of our size. And that is so far from the truth, right? People of all sizes can have healthy outcomes and people of all sizes can have pregnancy complications, but we don't blame someone who is, you know, a size 10 who develops gestational diabetes and shame them in the same way we do for someone who is a size 24. So, you know, that is a shame on our society and the medical community that needs to be shifted and looked at and changed, absolutely. So know that your body is pregnant. Like, do you know how healthy you have to be to be growing life within you? How many magnificent systems within our bodies need to be functioning in such a specific way to carry through pregnancy? Like, oh my gosh, like it truly is. I'm going to use the word miracle because it is. And that's what I want you to hold on to. Your body is doing something so magnificent, and hold on to that truth and that belief. Can we look at the research and show that there's some increased risk because of our size? Yeah. We can look at someone who's, you know, advanced maternal age and see many of the same increased risks. So let's stop blaming and shaming, and let's know that we can have great outcomes at any size, and to focus on our overall wellness and focus on our mental health and know that we're doing the very best that we can, and it's enough. Number 6, help. I'm afraid to announce my pregnancy because I'm plus size and worry about how people will react. Oh, yeah. This is another one where I'm just like, I want to give you a hug. I think it's fair to feel this way as well. You shouldn't have to. I wish no one felt this way, but I know a lot of people do. And so I think it's great to, if you have these fears, right? If you're like, I think it's great to start off by sharing it with a few safe people. That bestie who's got you no matter what, who's going to be so excited for you and say all the right things. You know who they are. Go to them first. And we don't know what's going on in other people's lives. I know so often people who are struggling with infertility see a pregnancy announcement and they just can't engage. They can't like it. They can't give it love. They've got to scroll on by. So if you don't get the reaction from someone that you're expecting, then don't just assume that it is automatically because of your size, right? And some people have experienced losses that they've never told anyone about, that you're unaware of. So I think that's important to remind yourself as well. And then when you're ready to start telling more people or posting on social media, then just emotionally prepare yourself that people suck. I'm sorry. Like, I don't know a way to, like, I can't protect you from everyone, but I can tell you that not everyone is kind, because we, all of us have, you know, weight stigma that we carry internalized. At any size, we still struggle with those things. And I still do. And I misspeak. Heck, I've probably misspoken and maybe missed the mark a little bit on a few things during this episode, because I'm always learning and growing. So when your family, or if they say something like, congratulations, but I'm really worried about your health, then you can respond by saying, thanks so much for the congratulations, and I've got a great care provider that's focusing on my health and wellness along with me, so I'm covered there. You know, like that whole pivot again, like, thanks, but, or thanks, or let's talk about this. If you have a family member that continuously harps, then you got to set some strong boundaries with them. Say, thank you. I've heard your concerns. We don't need to have this conversation again. I am aware and my care provider is aware. I think it can also be helpful to really break down what increased risks you face during pregnancy, and that they are actually overall really small, and have conversations with loved ones that you might want to go in more in depth about relative risk and actual risk. And maybe by educating them, re-educating them on health and wellness during pregnancy might help them to relax a little bit and unpack their own weight bias that they have. So it's not your job to educate these people, but you can share an article with them and maybe that will help. But maybe it won't, right? And if it doesn't, then know that as a parent, you're always going to face judgment. You're never going to do everything quote unquote right, because there is no right. We do the very best we can. And I firmly believe that as long as we are parenting with love and making choices with love, then we're making the very best choices we can for our loved ones and for our kids. So you got to focus on you and your family and your child, and know that, yeah, people aren't always kind, and people are going to judge no matter what you do. And that can be really hard to accept and embrace. But whoo, it's sure a part of, for me, of being a mom, that I'm like, okay, that's their problem, not mine. I'm doing the best I can, and I can't have any control over how people think about me, but I can have control over how I react to it, and that's a skill that I'm still learning how to do. But I feel sad that there's this apprehension about sharing our pregnancy news when we exist in larger bodies, and that we have that worry attached to it. And I hope one day that is not there. And for some people it isn't, but for many it is. So I think doing the very best we can, sharing with a few safe people first, preparing ourselves emotionally, knowing that some people just suck, and social media can be, you know, full of landmines as well. So, you know, protecting our hearts, and just knowing that there will always be those people cheering you on, and I'm one of them. And I'm so happy for you, and congratulations. Alrighty, I've saved the best for last, the best, the most important, the one that I struggle with still. I don't know, this is number 7. How can I manage my internalized fat phobia when plus size and pregnant? I loved this question when I received it, and I'm like, you know, that's something I'm still working on too. So let's talk about it, let's dig in. As I've shared, I'm still learning and growing and unpacking my own internalized fat phobia, and I'm in my 40s and have been doing fat advocacy work for a very long time now. But I am a human being, so I definitely have my own stigmas and biases, and that's just forever a thing, right? And I'm always working and learning and tapping into really helpful resources to grow. And when I know better, I do better. And sometimes I make some mistakes still again, but then I try again. And that's what counts. It's that we acknowledge and accept that we all have internalized biases, and that we start to work through them, because we don't want to pass them on to our children. And we want to be better humans, or at least I would hope so. So let's walk through some tips on really accepting that we're all kind of a little fat phobic, just like we're all kind of a little racist, especially people like me who are white, and that these are really sometimes tough conversations, but very important conversations that we have. Know that I am not the expert on internalized fat phobia. I can speak to it, but there are a ton of resources that I will put in the show notes as well, so you can dig in far deeper. So what is internalized fat phobia? It's when someone applies weight stigma to themselves. So examples of that would be, you know, saying really unkind things about our bodies to ourselves, you know, just not wanting to look in the mirror much, or avoid being in photos. I know I've been very guilty in the past of when I get in photos, I'd shout out like, hide my hips, or I'd hide behind people to try and shrink myself and change my appearance. And to be honest, even still with photos, I can be like, oh, let's do downward angles. So I no longer hide myself, but I still play with angles. And it's still something I'm working on and unpacking. And I think it's a balance of, you know, it's okay to like certain photos, but I also need to be getting all different angles, because all angles of me are absolutely fantastic. And internalized fat phobia can also be avoiding social situations. I know that I can clearly recall a wedding of a friend in Southern California that I didn't go to because I had gained a lot of weight and I just didn't want to go. And I will forever regret that decision. And, you know, going on yo-yo fad diets and doing things to harm our bodies because of how we feel about our size. These are all examples of internalized fat phobia. So during pregnancy, a lot of those same messages, right, about our bodies and what they are capable of, and not wanting to take any photos, not wanting to celebrate our pregnancy. All of those things can be, you know, very minor examples, because I want to be careful with how I'm saying everything, because I don't want anyone to feel ashamed. Like, you know, we're all unpacking many biases, right? And pregnancy is a finite amount of time. Unpacking all this stuff is going to take a lifetime. So I don't want you to feel like just because you're not booking a fancy maternity shoot doesn't mean that you can't love and embrace your pregnant body. I'm just saying, at least take a bathroom selfie. But once you've acknowledged that internalized fat phobia exists, then gosh, be kind to yourself. That's what I would say is the first thing to do. Like, these conversations and this work is so hard, right? So just be kind to yourself. I can honestly tell you that I walk through my daily life not hating myself, but I did for the first 30 plus years of my life. So it's going to take a long time, but it's worth it. You can really get to the point where you don't always have this negative self-talk. I've done a lot of the work. I'm continuing to do the work. I want you to know it's possible, but it's forever something that we have to focus on. And I don't want it to sound like a burden. It's awesome. It is awesome not hating myself, but it takes a lot of work to get to that point. And so, you know, really be kind to yourself, acknowledge it, that it exists, and be kind to yourself and start unpacking it. Tap into really great organizations like the Association for Size, Diversity, and Health. And then there's the National Association to Advance Fat Acceptance. There are incredible, incredible books out there. The next one on my reading list is Fearing the Fat Body, The Radical Origins of Fat Phobia by Sabrina Strings. Like, there's a lot that we can start to become educated upon. And I think it's really important that we are amplifying the most marginalized voices. And that's something I know organizations like, you know, the Association for Size, Diversity, and Health are really focused on. So doing the work, you know, we're kind to ourselves, and then we start to unpack all of this and we do all the work. And again, this will take time, especially when you're pregnant. You're reading all the, hey, I just need to know like what size fruit my baby is today, of course. But at the same time, you can read a few pages from a book or you know, a great article while you're peeing, because that's usually when I have time to read. TMI, but there we go. So just start doing the work. Baby step the work. And more I am seeing incredible accounts over on Instagram and TikTok of people talking about embracing and loving your plus size pregnancy, doulas and childbirth educators doing educational videos around plus size pregnancy. And you know I'm here for ya over on Plus Mommy and Plus Size Birth. And I'm always putting out content, and my blog I've been writing for a decade, but I've even realized and have been received criticism for older articles of mine that are not as size inclusive as my newer work is. So I've been going through my content, and I'm talking about I started writing in 2011. So hundreds of articles, and going through and updating them and taking a critical eye at my own work. It is sometimes tricky to walk that tightrope, especially as someone who works adjacent to medical professionals on BMI is the end all be all in the health community still. And I can talk about how it's so problematic, but I need to prepare people for how do they interface with the medical community and how do they handle being told that there are weight gain recommendations during pregnancy when you have a higher BMI. There's so many directions we could go in, but at the end of the day, I just want someone to feel empowered when they have to walk into their prenatal visit and not have to carry so much baggage and fear and know what they're going to walk into. They're often going to be told to stand on the scale and have certain conversations that might be a little uncomfortable. And I want them to not walk away from every prenatal visit feeling completely defeated. So all of that to say, I am working hard on my resources as well. So I think just being mindful, right, of the information that we're taking in, seek out many different sources, spend actually less time on social media, right? Like put down our phones and not take in things that can be triggering because there's only so much we can do to protect ourselves while we're scrolling. And then setting healthy boundaries with those people who are in our everyday lives, those who make us feel ashamed of ourselves are not the people that we want to always be interfacing with. And that can be really difficult if that is a parent or a grandparent or a sibling or even your own partner. So working towards setting healthy boundaries, working towards bringing more diverse people into your life who are doing the same work you're doing to unpack all the things can be really helpful as well. And then back to that first tip over there at the beginning about kindness and continuing to be kind to ourselves. And part of being kind to ourselves is advocating for ourselves in the healthcare system because we are worthy of it. And unfortunately, during pregnancy, that is a space where we incur a lot of weight bias. So whenever possible, connecting with a size-friendly care provider, but we know that that is not always possible. So also tapping into some tips on how to navigate the healthcare system during pregnancy or otherwise when you exist in a larger body. And I have a lot of resources on that as well. So how did this go? How did this feel? I hope okay. This was a lot. I felt myself tensing up at times and being like, okay, we can do this because this is hard. But I want to continue diving in to harder conversations. I want to continue to learn and grow myself. And I always want to be there for you. So know that I am here for you. Know that I will be here back for you again next week as the show is back on a weekly schedule. And I'm truly wishing you all the very best. Take care, friends. Until next time, goodbye.